to be part of something wonderful? Do you know that we can change the world one life at a time? And we are part of something wonderful. We're part of the kingdom of God. We're part of what God is doing. We're part of God changing the world one life at a time. And that includes the lives of young people, college students. And we here at Gateway, we get to be a part of what God is doing through the ministry of the Kurtzens and Chi Alpha at San Diego State. And I am so excited as to all the wonderful things that have been going on down there that Brandon and Kendra are going to share with us and give us an update since they were here with us last year. Guys, we love you so much. We're so glad that you're here. We're so proud of everything that's been going on through your leadership and your ministry and seeing these lives change. And we are so blessed to be a part of what you guys are doing. And so we're glad that you're here. And I don't know if Brandon would say anything about it, but I'm going to say something. He just had a huge milestone in his life. He just earned his PhD. And so I want to invite Dr. Brandon Kurtzen to come and share with us.
Oh, how many of you guys know God is here this morning? Amen. All throughout Scripture, in the book of Mark, in the book of Revelation, Jesus says over and over again, "He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying." Do you guys have ears to hear what God is saying this morning? Because he's been speaking already this morning. He's been speaking through the worship, on the videos. He's been speaking through the announcements. He's been speaking through every little thing. As I've been listening, I've been hearing God speak already this morning. Do you guys do journals? Do you take notes and write things down during messages? If you do, I want you guys just to take out your journal and write what God has been speaking to you already this morning, because God is speaking. I know he's been speaking to me about his faithfulness. And that's something that I know he wants to speak to you guys this morning, that God is faithful, that he's faithful to the promises and to the dreams that he's given us in our life, that he's faithful to this community, that he's not going to abandon it, but he's going to raise up people like you at Gateway Church to make a difference in this community. I'm going to give you guys a little tip. Pastor said it, it's so important to bring. You know, Americans, we're lazy, right? Do you know what it means to bring someone? It means you need to go to their house and pick them up and bring them here. Because inviting is not enough. We work with students all the time, and we have to tell our students, it's not enough just to invite your friends and to hope that they'll show up at 7:30 when we have our service. You need to walk to their dorm, and you need to get them, and you need to walk them to our service. That's the only way they're going to get there, because people are lazy. They're going to be watching the baseball game and be like, I don't want to go, or they're going to get hungry and they're not going to want to come at 4 o'clock. You need to go and pick them up at their house and bring them. And then you need to take them, tell them, "I'm going to take you to a nice dinner afterward. We're going to go to All Star Burgers or whatever it is down the street. And we're going to, you guys, you need to go that extra mile, because it's worth it to share the gospel with people. And people, I want to see people in your guys' community come to Jesus. And so I want to see you guys bringing them next week, going to their house and picking them up, not just inviting them." Amen? And that's what God has done for us. That's how faithful he has been in our lives, right? He's been there for us every time when we've been lazy and we've wanted to turn away from God and we've wanted to do our own thing. And we want to be that way for other people too. The same way that God's grace and his love pursues us, we want to pursue people in our community that same way. Those are just some things that God's been speaking to me this morning. And so I hope that he's been speaking to you and you have ears to hear what God is saying already this morning. He wants to speak to you, and it's going to be beyond the words that I say. So I hope that you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying this morning. Well, I am so glad to be with you guys. When Pastor invited me, just my spiritual excitement went up 100 times, because I love being with you guys every time we're here. This is our third time with you guys. We were here 2015, 2017, 2018, and every time I am blessed, I can tell that you guys are blessed by what God is doing. And we just, I don't know what it is, but we just have this spiritual partnership and connection with your church more than any church that we go to. And I don't say that like to anyone else, I promise you. And just two things. I mean, I don't know if you guys know, I think I was here one time and I told you the story that I was took a team of 10 students to Nicaragua 2 years ago. And we were down there and we felt like God was just leading us to do some big things while we were down there. We spent a lot of money blessing people and doing outreaches. And we went like $800 over our budget. And I was down there and just said, God, where is this money going to come from? One of our students went into the hospital and we had to like pay for hospital bills and stuff. And I'm like, where is this money going to come from, God? And that same day, I looked at our account. We got an exactly like $800 check from someone at Gateway Church here in Yucca Valley. God did that through you guys. And then just this last couple of weeks, I'm taking a team to the Philippines. We're going to be doing a Chi Alpha conference there. It's going to be the first thing of its kind, groundbreaking. I'm going to be the keynote speaker at this conference. We're going to have 500 to 600 college students from all over the Philippines come. And the big message that I'm going to share with them, I've been working on it this week already. I was thinking maybe I'd share it with you guys, test it out on you, but God gave me another word for today, so you're not going to hear that one. But the big thing I'm going to be sharing with them is that they can do missions too in the Philippines, that God wants to use the college students there to go to other countries in Southeast Asia that even we can't even send Americans to, like China and Bhutan and Cambodia, places that are hard for us as American missionaries to get into, but Filipinos are welcome. They can go there as maids and they can go there as teachers and all these ways, and they're welcome there because they're part of that Southeast Asian culture. So encouraging them to go and to do missions. And so we just have this huge opportunity. I'm taking 8 students with me to the Philippines. Costs $2,500, and I've been getting money, and every time I do it, God tells me to keep giving it to our students. I've been taking them to churches with me, and I've been giving them my offerings, and God's just been saying, it's okay, Brandon, I'll provide for you. I'll cover your trip too, because I haven't been raising any money. I've been like raising it for my students, and costs us $2,400 to go on this trip. And just last week, I was looking through my account again, and sure enough, Gateway Church, $2,400 for the exact amount of the trip that we're going to the Philippines. So you guys have supported like every one of my missions trips without knowing about it. You guys are like hearing from God, and we just have this awesome partnership with you guys beyond what I can even explain. I'm so blessed by you guys. And what Pastor Jerry said is so true, that through your guys' prayers and your giving to us, God is doing it through you, everything that he's doing. So let me share just a couple stories of what God is doing, because I want to share a timely and encouraging word for you guys this morning that I think is going to just encourage you guys from the book of 1 Kings 19, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. But we just felt like this year that God was leading us to reach out to groups that we've never reached out to before on our campuses, to see people come to Christ that never would have come to Christ if we weren't there to reach out to them. I remember early on in the year, we had our students just pray for God, give me like a prophetic word of what group it is that you want me to reach out to. And different students got different words. And praise God, in November, we baptized 6 students at our fall retreat that had all come to Christ in the fall semester. And then we saw even more students come to Christ in the spring. One of them is Jonathan. You can put him up. He's right there in the left. In the middle, he's a Vietnamese student at one of our community colleges there. Like Pastor said, we've been kind of expanding our ministry. So we have a group at San Diego State. We have a group at a community college called Grossmont College. And Jonathan graduated from high school last year, came to Grossmont College. And I've heard him tell his story lots of times. He talks about how he was depressed, how he was suicidal, how he didn't feel like anyone loved him. And he grew up Buddhist, in a Buddhist family. His family wasn't really practicing Buddhism, and he just had no hope. And the first day of school, he was on campus and just thinking, like, what am I even doing here? Like, why am I on this college campus? I don't even think I can get good grades in this. And one of our student leaders gave him a flyer to Chi Alpha. And Jonathan, Buddhist guy started coming to my small group at Grossmont College. And sure enough, by the end of October, he tells the story that he came in one of our worship services and came and just kneeled at the altar because I told him to or something like that. I said, okay, I'll go down. And I said that God wants to speak to you guys tonight, and that he heard God, the audible voice of God, speak to him and say, Jonathan, you are precious to me. And that it was at that moment that he gave his life to Jesus, and Jonathan's got baptized in November, and God's been doing just awesome things through Jonathan. He's going to be a student leader this next year and help lead a small group at Grossmont College. And Jonathan has been one of those Christians, new Christians, that just starts bringing people. His Muslim friend Abraham has been a part of Chi Alpha all year and is so close to coming to Christ. We're praying and fasting for him. Right now is Ramadan for the Muslim nation all around the world. They're fasting and praying for 40 days, and so we're just praying that God, Jesus, would reveal himself to Abraham in a real way. Abraham believes in Jesus, but he's still kind of holding both Islam and Jesus up here, and so we're believing that he's going to come to Christ. I have another Buddhist guy who Jonathan brought this year. He was coming to our small groups for 3-4 weeks. He's an American Buddhist, not a Vietnamese Buddhist. He grew up Catholic and converted to Buddhism himself, and he was coming, and he told me one day, he's like, Brandon, like, you guys read the Bible like I've never heard before. Like, you talk about God like he's full of hope and full of joy. I always thought God was angry and mad, and I want to read the Bible like you guys. And then he texted me the next week and said, Brandon, I bought a Bible, and I've been reading it, and I have questions. And so we met, and sure enough, Dakota gave his life to Jesus Christ this spring in March. And so we've been seeing Buddhists and atheists. In my small group that I led this year, we had 7 guys in it for the bulk of the year, and they all started. There were 2 Buddhists, a Muslim, and an atheist, and then 3 Christian guys. So the non-Christians outnumbered the Christians, but all of them are following Jesus now. And so that's just some of what God is doing as we reaching out to people that no one else is reaching out to on our campus. One of our girls, this is a cool story, I'll just share this really quickly. 2 of our girls actually are going to start the very first small group on our campus that's going to be held in the Pride Center at San Diego State, which is the LGBTQ Center. And so we've been just trying to getting so much favor with them, and we ran a seminar on faith and spirituality this year in the LGBTQ community, and just making inroads in favor and just praying that God would give us a door. And sure enough, like, they have all these safe zone things, and they don't want anyone to offend anyone, and all these rules that they have in the LGBTQ Pride Center. But they're going to let our 2 girls lead a small group in the Pride Center, and they're going to actually help advertise it, because we've gained so much trust with them that we're going to love the people of this community, that we're not going to bash them or hate on them or anything like that. And so we just tell them, you know, we're not there to change people that don't want to be changed, but there are a lot of people who want spirituality and want faith in the LGBTQ community, and we just want to be there for them to help them to find Jesus. And so they said, okay, if that's all you want to do, then you guys can come and we'll help you, because they have seen that students in the LGBTQ community are hungry for faith and spirituality, and they don't know how to provide it there. And so they're saying, all right, come and do it for us. We'll let you guys do it. And so God's just been giving us so much favor, and we're going to have our first small group held in the Pride Center next year. Yeah, so we're super excited about that and some of the things that God is doing. We reach the lost. Another thing we do is we disciple Christian students on our campuses. Maybe I've probably shared with you guys before, 80% of young people who grew up in the church leave the church during their college years. And this is Landon, but I decided when I was praying this morning that God wanted me to tell you Michael's story. Michael grew up in a family that loved Jesus. His mom loved Jesus. His dad divorced his mom and cheated on her when he was a high schooler, and so he had a lot of hurt and pain from that. But his mom had never taken Michael to church. He'd never been a part of a spiritual community. He had just learned to read the Bible and to pray. And he went through all of his years, a senior in college this last year. And at the end of his junior year, actually, he met us in Chi Alpha, and God just like supernaturally connected us. And Michael came to our community, and it was the first time that he had like ever been to a church. Isn't that crazy that there's people out there that know God but had just never been to a church? He'd never been to a church before and been a part of a church. And so Michael became a leader this year. He started getting discipled and mentored, and God had already been doing stuff in his life, but we've just seen him grow so much. And Michael led a small group this last year. He had 8 guys in it. It was one of the biggest small groups that we had on our campus. Landon was one of those who God just transformed Landon's life. I'm not going to tell that story, but he did a lot of it through Michael. And this year, Michael, it's crazy because Michael was planning on going to get a master's in communication and to be a professor someday. God had already called him to work with college students. But now Michael is actually right now driving to Springfield, Missouri, because he's coming on staff with us next year to do the internship. God's completely changed his direction and called him into full-time campus ministry. And that's happened from being, you know, he had never been to a church before, and now he wants to give his life to serve the church and to bring people to Jesus. And so it's so cool to see Michael, how God's just completely transformed his world, and he's raising support right now to come on staff with us this next year. So God's been doing awesome things. We minister to international students. This is Elaine up there. She is a Chinese Buddhist, again, grew up Buddhist in her family, from Mexico City. So she's like international everywhere, right? She's from Mexico City, or she speaks Spanish, Chinese, and English. Those 3 languages. In home, they speak Chinese. She grew up speaking Spanish in school in Mexico City, and then learned English along the way. And it came to San Diego State as a freshman this last year, is another one of those students that gave her life to Christ. And Memorial Day weekend, it was just 2 weekends ago, we sent her to Springfield, Missouri, or St. Louis, Missouri, for a Discover the Nations conference, which is a big international student conference that Chi Alpha puts on with over 500 international students from around the country. And Elaine is going to help us to reach out to other international students next year. We had a group of 7 Chinese and Japanese students last year that she was a part of, and some of them came to Christ. And so we're trying to reach the nations, and her parents have, one of our staff went down and visited her parents and got to share the gospel with them in Mexico City. And so God's just doing awesome things with international students as well. The last thing, last story, and then I'm going to breeze through a quick message from 1 Kings 19, is we're all about raising up leaders. And God has been doing this in amazing ways. This is our student leadership team for this next year, 25 student leaders that'll all be leading small groups that'll be being used by God on our campuses. We started an internship program this next year and had 4 interns this year. We have 3 interns this next year, and we already have 3 interns signed up for the year after that are juniors this year. Will be seniors this year, but say, I want to be used by God in campus ministry, because we're praying that God will start more Chi Alphas in Southern California. But as we've been praying and pressing into it, we really believe the only way that's going to happen is if we raise up Southern California indigenous missionaries that will reach their own colleges and their own campuses for Jesus Christ. And so we've been doing this internship program to raise up people to start more Chi Alphas, because I'll just... we are the only successful Chi Alpha to have started in Southern California in the last 12 years. Isn't that crazy? There's only 4 Chi Alphas right now, and they all started more than 10 years ago and that have lasted. And so God's given us special favor to see the growth that we have and the impact, but we're wanting to spread that. And so we have our eyes set on Cal State San Marcos, of sending a team of interns there, and then just kind of working our way up north to UC Irvine, UC Riverside, and starting more and more Chi Alphas. But we're just laying the groundwork and the foundations with people like Michael, who are saying yes to the call of God on their life and to do that. And you know what? God has put a call on every one of our lives. Do you know that? If we have ears to hear, God has called us all to do some great things for him. And I want to talk to you guys about that this morning from 1 Kings 19, because I believe that with all of my heart, that my God is a God of love that pursues people with relentless passion, that he is going to go after people with all that he has, and that he wants us doing the same. So what else would God do than to call us to great things and to share that love with other people? Now, we all have different callings, and our Chi Alpha, we talk about people that are called like Michael to the university campus, but we also have people like Hannah Ontoy, who's called to be a nurse, and we have Hope, who's called to be a business person, and so we help them to figure out their callings of how God wants them to be used as a teacher or as a business person or as a nurse. And so you guys all have had different callings on your life, but I'm here just to tell you this morning. I'll tell you right now, my message is really simple. That God is faithful to you in that calling, and that even if he's given you a dream and a plan and a way that he wants to use you, and you've given up on that dream, God hasn't given up on you. And he hasn't given up on what he wants to do in your life and what he wants to do through your life. And maybe you've given up so much that you haven't just given up on that dream, but you've just given up on your faith altogether. Well, God wants to restore that this morning. He wants to restore the call of God on your life. And I think he wants to do it through looking at Elijah. Elijah is a man that had a call of God on his life. He was called to be a prophet. And I imagine Elijah, as he was being called to be a prophet, he probably had dreams of being the next Moses, right? Because when we get called, we don't dream little dreams, we dream big dreams, right? I remember thinking as I was called to be a youth pastor, man, I'm not gonna youth pastor a youth group of 5 or 10, that maybe I'll start there, right? But no, eventually it's going to be the 300s, right? It's going to be the thousands. I'm going to see a youth revival. And Elijah's probably imagining the same thing as he's called to be a prophet, man. Moses, here I come, right? I'm going to part some Red Seas. I'm going to lead some people out of captivity. I'm going to be the next great prophet of Israel. And so Elijah gets this call. But what is the first prophetic word that we have that a God gave Elijah to give? He was called to go to King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, the two most wicked king and queens in the history of Israel, and to tell them there's going to be a drought. There's going to be a famine in the land, many years. And what comes with drought and famine? Hunger, lack of resources, bad crops. He's basically saying it's going to be bad in Israel for the next 7 years. How would you like that to be the way that your call starts, right? You dream of the big time, you dream of like doing Harvest America or something like that, or leading a Bible study that the whole town comes to, and God says, well, here is where you're gonna start. You're gonna give a bad prophetic word that's gonna make people really angry with you, that's gonna make you the least popular prophet in Israel, and probably make people wanna kill you. Go for it, Elijah, go for it, right? And maybe we feel like that sometimes. We thought of Moses, but man, when we started to work out the call, it was like, oh, this isn't as fun as I thought it would be, or this is harder than I thought it would be, or man, people aren't liking what I'm saying. What's going on here? And so Elijah's wrestling with this. But you know, God's always faithful along the way. God did amazing things through Elijah in this time too. In fact, so that was in chapter 17 where he gets called to give this prophetic word. The first prophetic word, like big prophetic word, we see him called to give. In chapter 18 is that story of Mount Carmel where he faces off against the prophets of Baal, and God sends fire down and delivers Elijah, and it's just the amazing miracle, right? So Elijah had seen this amazing miracle, and you would think at this point he would be having faith, right? He would be on top of the mountain, he'd be excited, ready, Moses, here I come again, right? But calling is a little more complicated than that sometimes, right? If you guys are like me, maybe you're like Elijah, you see a really God do really something really good 1 week, and you're excited on top of the world, but it doesn't take that much just to get you down in the dumps again and to start wondering, what am I even doing here, right? And that's where we find Elijah in chapter 19. He had just seen God do this amazing thing of bringing fire on the mountain in the midst of a drought, and he poured water and all this stuff that would make it just this huge miracle of God. But then that makes the king and the queen Jezebel even more mad. And in chapter 19, verse 2, Ahab's wife says this. She said, "Just like you killed the prophets of Baal, so may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." She's basically the Israelite mafia, and she's put a hit out on Elijah's life. She said, "You killed my people, I'll kill you," right? And so she's put a hit out on him. And what does the great man of God do? Does he say, "Well, that's okay, God is on my side"? No, it says that he runs to the desert, right? He goes to the desert, farther into drought land, right? You guys know what it's like to be in the desert. It's already a drought, and he just goes further into the drought, away from water, away from resources, and begins to run for his life. That's what it says. He rose up, and he ran for his life. So he's on the drought, on the go. He's questioning his call. He's wondering, man, did God really call me to this? If God called me to this, wouldn't it be going better? Wouldn't people be listening? Wouldn't people be responding? Wouldn't, he have my back? If God called me to this, wouldn't it be going better? At least those are the questions that I ask when I go through desert times in my calling, when I go through desert times of wondering, why aren't I seeing more results or more fruit, or why aren't people responding to the call of God on their lives? And that's what Elijah says in verse 4. He just says, I want it all to end. He's given up so much, he says, it's enough now, God, just let me die. He's given up on more than his call. He's given up on his life. He's given up on his relationship with God. He's given up on everything. Isn't that crazy how you can just turn on the dime like that, seeing God do a big miracle, and then the next week be like, man, just end it all, God. Just end it all. But I'm sure that you've all been there before, right? And had that same experience. This is our story. He's given up on his dream. He's given up on his ministry. He's given up on himself. And he's given up on God. He doesn't see any way it could be better. And he just wants to die. And so after that powerful prayer from that powerful man of God, I just want to die, he gets back up and he goes back to fight the enemy. No, that's not what happened. It says that he falls asleep. Right? So he's prays this big prayer of, I want to die, God, and then he falls asleep. He's tired. And I love this, though. As Elijah's sleeping, it says God sends empowerment. He sends an encounter with an angel who ministers to him, who touches him, and who feeds him. And of course, when we have a touch from God, then we're empowered, right? We're ready to go back and to pursue God's dreams for our lives. But no, Elijah, he falls back asleep again, it says. He has an encounter with an angel, and he falls back asleep. Again, God knows exactly what Elijah needs, and he sends an angel a second time to touch him and to feed him, and he says, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. Let me just pause and give two thoughts here really quick. First, God is with you even when you're in the desert. Even when it feels like God has abandoned you, like Elijah does right here, God is with us, pursuing us still, ministering to us, touching us. It's okay to be beat down. It's okay to be in the desert. It's okay to feel like God isn't there, because that's how it feels sometimes. But we need to know by faith that God is still always there. And we see that here all the time, that God is here with us. He's in there in the midst of the biggest deserts that we face. Second, I think that it's interesting that even after two touches of God, Elijah is still not ready yet. Some of us, especially when we put our hearts out there, when we've gone for something big for God, and it hasn't gone the way that we expected, we've been so hurt and pained by that, that one time of God speaking to us may not be enough. A second time may not even be enough. Being wounded and finding healing, it takes time, and that's okay. I just want you to know that. It's okay. God doesn't get mad with Elijah. He doesn't say, get up, you wimp, or, you know, do this. He comes and he sends an angel again. He ministers to him a second time, even though he falls asleep and wants to give up again. God is patient with us, even when discouragement has set in, even when we've given up. But Elijah, he's not satisfied yet. And even though God's there with him, even though he's given him a personal angel to be ministering to him and feeding him, it's still not enough for Elijah. And so he sets out, not just for the wilderness, not just away from Ahab and Jezebel and imminent danger, but he heads off for the mountain of God, for the very place that Moses met with God in the burning bush, where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, where it said the cloud would descend and Moses would come down the mountain, his face shining with the glory of God. He's going back to Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. They call it different things in different books because it changed names over time, but it's the same place, Mount Sinai and Mount Horeb here where Elijah is going. You see, Elijah's questioning everything and he's looking for answers. He's looking for answers. And what he's doing is he's trying to go back to his roots, to his heritage, to past experiences of God. He wants to experience God like Moses did before. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. That's human nature, right? To go back and say, man, I experienced God at this conference before. I need to go back up to the mountain and find that fire again, right? I need to go back to that prayer time daily at 6 a.m. because I know that I met God in those prayer times. So I'm going to do that again. That's a good thing to do, to go back to the places where we've met God in our past to find strength. And that's what Elijah's doing here. There's nothing wrong with this. And so he goes to the mountain of God. And actually, it's God that talks first, though. And he says, Elijah, what are you doing here? Ouch. He's just kind of like, what are you doing here, Elijah? We'll see why God asked that. But Elijah basically complains to God. Some of it's up on the screen, slide 13. But he says, where are you, God? I need you, God. You called me to this. Where are you now, God? I'm all alone. I'm failing. And I thought you would be with me. That's the Dr. Brandon summarization right there, okay? And God says, okay, Elijah, you want to meet with me? Go stand out on the mountain. So Elijah goes out, and maybe you've heard this story before, but a giant wind comes. And Elijah, in my mind, he's just got to be thinking, the winds, they come from the very throne of God, it says in the Psalms. This must be God. He must be in the wind. He showed up in the wind before, but he wasn't in the wind. And then the earth begins to shake. An earthquake begins to happen. And Elijah's got to be thinking, the earth shakes before the presence of God. Surely God must be in the earthquake. But he wasn't in the earthquake. And then a fire comes, and Elijah's got to be thinking, surely God revealed himself in fire before, in the burning bush. He led Israel by fire through the desert. God must be in the fire. But he wasn't in the fire. You see, sometimes we miss here that each of these things were ways that God had been experienced by Israel in the past. Elijah's desperately trying to find God again. Wherever he can, he's going back to places and things where he's found God before. And then maybe you know the story. A still, quiet emptiness comes. The last place that Elijah was expecting to meet or to find God. And Elijah goes out into the void. And God asks him the same question again. What are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you trying to find me? What's your goal? What's your purpose, Elijah? And Elijah still doesn't quite get it. He gives the same complaint again. Where have you been, God? Even though God's been with them the whole time, right? He's been talking to them, ministering angels, but it can be hard to see God in the midst of the chaos sometimes, right? God's been giving them victories and protecting them, but Elijah wants more. He wants a bigger sign. He wants a clearer answer. He wants to know that it's God speaking. How many of you guys have been there before, right? You want to know. And here's what God says. I'll just read the first five words, and this is what I think God wants to say to some of us today. God says, go, return on your way. God says, go home, Elijah. He says, go back to your ministry, Elijah. He says, I've already told you what to do. I've already called you, Elijah. And to those I've called, I've equipped. Go and do what I've called you to do, Elijah. You know, I like a word from God as much as anyone. I like to hear his voice. I like to have that confidence that comes from knowing that God is there with me and spoken to me still. I like a good worship time and an experience from God. And God has given those things to Elijah in this story, right? He sought him and he's found him. He's ministered to him. But sometimes we keep looking for the next sign. We keep looking for the next experience. When God has been with us the whole time and he's just saying, all right, get back out there and do it. Go back on your way. What are you doing here in the church, right? What are you doing here looking for another experience, another word, another sign? I've already told you what to do. And I'm with you, Elijah. Go back and do it. I think sometimes we get into this mentality and we've been hurt and pained, and that's okay. I've said it already. God is gracious to us in those times. But we just keep coming back for another worship service, for another time. We've given up on the dreams that God has given us, the calling that God has given us to make a difference in our workplace, to make a difference in our neighborhood or in our school or in our community. And God's just telling some of us this morning, maybe you're not there yet, maybe you need some more healing and you need some more ministry, but I feel like God wanted to say to some of us this morning, go and do what I've called you to do already. It's time to rise back up and to go back and to fulfill the calling and the dreams that I've called you to. I don't have time. We're just about out, but this is part of my story. I had given up in ministry. I was a youth pastor before Chi Alpha, and I grew one youth group to 75 and thought I was God's gift to people and the next Moses. And then I went to a youth group and it was just pounding my head over and over again. Never grew the youth group past 12 kids. Of course, like Elijah, I saw God faithful. I saw some of those students are in missions now and they're youth pastors and God did amazing things. But I couldn't see it because I was so hurt and wounded and it wasn't the dream that I thought I was signing up for. And God used us in powerful ways, but I was discouraged and I was ready to quit and to give up. God had already called us into Chi Alpha, but I had just been denying it and saying, no, I don't think I'm worthy. I don't think I'm good enough. I couldn't do it here in this youth group or in this church. And I don't think I can do something like Chi Alpha. Raise a budget and missions, like I could never do that. I couldn't even grow this youth group in this church. And God came to me just like Elijah one night and said a very similar thing. He said, Brandon, I've already told you what to do. And I had to pull myself up. We had to take another big step of faith and go after the next thing that God had for us. And God's been faithful. We've told stories of what God has done, but it came out of a season of discouragement, of being ready to give up, of giving up on dreams. But I just want to be here to tell you today that God hasn't given up on the dreams that he's given you. God hasn't given up on the call that he's given you in your life. And each one of our calls are different. Mine's about ministry, so I've talked about ministry and youth pastoring and stuff. But I believe God wants to meet you today. And what I want to do this morning, we're a little over time, but I think God wants to maybe give some of you guys some words this morning. If that's you, if you've been feeling discouraged in your own faith, if you've been feeling discouraged in your own life, if you've given up on a dream or a call that God's given you, I would just love you to come up. Stu's going to play a worship song. And Kendra and I, if there's a lot of people, Pastor Jerry can come and help us as well. We just want to pray for you. I'm going to ask God, God speaks today, and I'll ask God to just give you me a prophetic word for you to encourage you this morning. But most of all, the best word you can hear is from God, right? And he may give you a special word or say, this is the ministry, but he may just say something simple like, I'm here. I'm with you. Keep going. Don't give up. I've already called you, and I've already equipped you. So if that's you, let's just sing this song of worship. We'll just worship together. We'll sing one song. You can come up to the altar and stand here, and I'd love to just to pray for you in these next 5 minutes before we dismiss. So if you have somewhere to go, I'm sure you can be dismissed if that's okay. If I can let people go, we want to honor and respect your time. But we'll probably just be another 5 or 10 minutes as we pray for people this morning. So you can pray with us as well. So God, just come and speak to us, God. Empower us. Encourage us this morning, God. Let's go ahead and play that song. If you want to come up and just receive prayer this morning, I'd love to pray for you. If not, we'll just pray together to close out after the song plays. So
Every voice for the same.